He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday, August the 21st, live edition of the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst and certified financial planner. We've had a little bit of a down a week since Tuesday, and we're down a little bit here today. I'm going to say mostly Walmart. Walmart's earnings report was a little bit less than expected. And as a result, the Dow is down 91 points right now. But that's only 20 basis points. And the Dow did make a new high on Wednesday intraday. It failed to hold it, but it's right there at or near new high. So it's pretty hard to complain about the market here in 2025. Even though we've had some of a roller coaster, a bit of a roller coaster ride earlier in the year. The NASDAQ is down 39 points right now, 20 basis points. We're kind of in between earnings season right now. We've got the Fed talking tomorrow. The NASDAQ down 39 points right now. It hit a new all-time high here, I think, late last week. The S&P 500 is down 10 points right now to 6385. It hit a new all-time high. Late last week. The bond market is quiet today. Gold is quiet today. And Bitcoin down just a little bit. I think everybody is waiting for Jackson Hole tomorrow. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. And I'm here with Barry Kite, our chartered financial analyst. And, Barry, we've seen a little bit of profit-taking in the NASDAQ. I was just astounded when I looked at the magnitude of the move that it's made. Holy cow, since April of this year.
Since April 8th. I think April 8th was kind of that low at the time. And apparently we need to pack up the bus and take a field trip to Jackson Hole. It seems like the market this week is really just waiting for whatever news comes out of Chairman Powell's mouth.
Yeah, we can get megaphones and hold up signs and paint our faces red, white, and blue saying we need a rate cut, Jerome, and we need more than one. I saw one of the Fed governors today saying, I think one is enough. That was Raphael Bostic. And then you've got a couple others that are in the running for to replace Powell. I know Waller and one other one. They're on the dovish side right now, trying to get in Trump's best favor. And we are, earnings season. We had Walmart come in today. We're going to take a look at how the state of retail right now, as many of your big box retailers reported this week. But a little bit of quiet, a little bit of profit-taking, a little bit of consolidation after this huge run-up. A little sell-off in Bitcoin, which was up at 122 here not too long ago. Now it's at about 113,000. Barry, the yield curve has narrowed to 49 basis points. It's been running around 65 basis points. That's not a big deal, but I have seen the short end, the two-year, bumping up a little bit. Does that tell you anything there? Is there anything there to be worried about the narrowing of the yield curve?
Yeah, I mean, I think the good news there is that, I believe the longer end's come down a little bit because I think we had mortgage rate, 30-year mortgage rate was at kind of its lowest in a while. Still not low, but its lowest in a while, about a week or so ago. But, as we keep having, kind of as this period where the market was pricing in at the beginning of the year, right? Three rate cuts, yes, on the short end. As those rate cuts continue to get pushed out, then of course naturally that front, the front part of that that yield curve is gonna be at least stubborn or rise a little bit. And so you think you've kind of had it, kind of burning that candle from both ends. One, a good thing on the mortgage side or 30, long end of the rate, but short end still stubborn as I guess as Jerome Powell is. So
yeah, and you got to blame the tariffs. I mean, that's what they're looking at. You might have had three rate cuts, but the tariff, the resetting of the trade amongst nations around the world has I'm sure helped pause the Fez. This is kind of disturbing news overnight. Russia bombs a U.S. factory, not in the U.S. Okay. But in the far west of Ukraine, okay, this is way out of where the front lines are right now. It was one of the war's largest attacks. Russia struck an American business with cruise missiles overnight and one of the largest aerial attacks of the war so far. Well, I would say it's a quasi-U.S. company. It's actually Flex, which I follow. Flex is a contract manufacturer, much like... Foxconn is. And,
you talked about one yesterday at the end of the show. I'm trying to remember who it was. Yeah,
and I would say Flex is really more of a Singapore company, but they do have a manufacturing plant in Texas. So I think it's a stretch to say it's a U.S. business. But the Ukrainian Air Force said some 574 drones and 40 missiles were fired overnight, primarily targeting western regions of the country. You know, Putin, he's a tough guy. He's establishing, he's sending out a warning, I think, to Europe, obviously, which is to the west of Ukraine, saying, you know, you guys are getting a little bit too close here. You know, I would just say that that's how he negotiates. That's how Putin negotiates, with missiles and blowing stuff up. And I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that means, you know, I really mean business here, or I'm willing to put an end. But, hey, I want to get something done here quickly. So, anyways, that I thought I'd bring that up. You had to kind of go down deep in the news to find that story. And I think the headline is a little misleading that it was a U.S. company, but it is a company. If you drive around Austin, Texas, I think you'll find somewhere out there a plant that does some contract manufacturing, and the name of the company is Flex.
Yeah, and they're actually headquartered in Austin, I believe. So.
Yes, but they're pretty much a Singapore. They're pretty much a Singapore company, okay? Much like Broadcom is really a Singapore company also, but it does have a lot of presence in the U.S. Okay, the initial jobless claims, they were a little bit higher, ho-hum, 235,000 versus the consensus of 226, so it came in a little bit hotter than expected. So a little bit of a rise in the length of the line for those initial jobless claims this week. But that's still historically a very low number, 235. We've been mired in those low 200,000s forever, it would seem.
And the sticky number really has been, you know, kind of that jobless, you know, the continuing claims number. You know, it's continued to be, you know, kind of edge higher over time. What, you know, what it means is, you know, folks who you know, change jobs or get laid off or having a tougher, you know, harder time, I guess, you know, getting reemployed there. But, you know, to me, that kind of tells me that, you know, gives more strength to the Fed cutting argument in reality, especially the continuous claims.
Yes.
The weekly claims are still, like you said, relatively low. You know, you usually got to get to that 300 range before, you know, kind of alarms start going off.
Yeah, well, the good news is I'm not in that line this week. You're not in that line. Jeff's not in that line. Edie's not. None of us are in that line this week. The Philly Fed, I don't know that I pay much attention to the Philly Fed. Their manufacturing index reverses prior month's improvement. It's Atlanta's Bostic. I guess he doesn't want to be the chairman of the board there at the Fed. He's saying, I think one rate cut will do it. That's not going to look good on his resume. I don't think he's one of the ones that our friend from Charleston is interviewing anyways. Boy, I'll tell you what, our friend Besant wears a lot of hats. He's negotiating with China. He's flying to Alaska to meet with Putin, with Trump, and he's interviewing candidates for the Fed. Maybe I should try to track him down at Hall's Chop House or the gas station, although I think he left Charleston.
Did he sell that house yet?
I think he sold the house.
Did he get it sold?
Yeah, but hey, I'll interview for the Fed job. I can't do any worse than Jerome Powell's done. No, I'm just kidding. You know, look, the economy's doing well. Inflation's under control.
It's been a long time since we've had a recession. I mean, I guess, right?
So it has been 9 months since a rate cut. You know, that's a long time when you figure that, look, that inflation has calmed down a long time ago, not only around the world, but here. And he's stubbornly dug his heels in for 9 months in a row now, refusing to give up even a quarter of a point. Man, is he stingy. We'll see if maybe Jackson Hole will loosen him up a little bit. Get out there, do a little fly fishing, Jerome. You know, relax, dude. You know, things aren't as bad as you paint things to be. Okay, when we come back, Walmart, Intuit, Zoom Communications, Ross Stores, other individual stocks to talk about. Big order for Boeing. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of today's Best Stocks Now show. Boy, I'll tell you what, Barry, I've made a lot of trips to the airport this year, going various places, one of my busier travel years. And, of course, the entrance to the Charleston International Airport. What do they call it, an international airport? Do they have any international flights out of there?
There's got to be an island out there. It goes maybe the Dominican Republic or Bahamas or Bermuda. I can't remember. There's one of them. And then I think they might be another flight, you know, quote-unquote internationally at some point. But, yeah, it's a stretch to use the
word. It's a stretch to call that an international airport. But, man, I'll tell you what, it's expanding like crazy as more and more people continue to move here. But what is really astonishing is the growth and the building, boots on the ground, taking place at Boeing.
Right there. Yeah, right out front, too. Yeah.
And we have several Boeing employees that go to our church. And one of the guys, I mean, he has to approve the jets before they leave the tarmac there for the countries they're going to. So he's a big shot. And he was telling me, and it's true, there's not any room for parking there for the employees. As they just expand their plant and where they park the done planes and everything, I think Boeing's bad days are behind it. Boeing eyes major China order with talks for 500 jets from China.
Man.
That would be something. The discussions are ongoing with details such as jet models and types still being finalized. Where are they going to put all those jets over there? They're going to have to expand again.
Yeah, I mean, that's a monster order and, you know, good sign at least for Boeing, too, because there's a period of time where China hasn't ordered any Boeing jets. And remember kind of during that initial tariff kind of battle, remember they were going to refuse to take delivery of a handful.
Yes.
So I read between the lines there, and it was like not only have they not taken delivery now, but they had it had been a while since they actually ordered anything from Boeing. So this is a big
bigger deal
on top of that. So
yeah, so I mean you can say what you want about the tariffs and everything and all the hubbub and turmoil that it's caused, but I mean there's evidence that China is still doing business with us. You know, I had to teach Sunday the 15 and 16-year-olds, 13 through 16. I had a full crew there, maybe, 25 kids, 20 or so, and we had a couple move in. And I said, where'd you move from? It's a nice family with some teenagers. They said, we moved from Seattle. Well, you know what that means? I mean, we have so many people living out here that come from Seattle. It's because their Boeing is in Seattle, and they're coming out here to South Carolina, either to get away from Seattle or they need them out here. I don't know. But, you know, they're happy to be here. It's a big change for them. Boeing is cooking on all cylinders right now. You know, another one that Allstate today, and I was thinking about this, knock on wood, we haven't had a hurricane this year. I mean, this one off the coast was nothing. I mean, we had a few waves off Isle of Palms to surf in. But other than that, it may have hit some islands out there in the eastern Caribbean. But, you know, look, we haven't had any. And how many? Last year was a horrible year for hurricanes. Now, we're in the height of hurricane season so far, but knock on wood, nothing has really come ashore. And Allstate is estimating a sequential drop in July catastrophe losses. And I've been watching the insurance stocks. You know, there is a move to lower PE stocks. Allstate kind of broke out yesterday. But, you know, look, it's not a real exciting stock. But right, right now, with things moving towards lower PE stocks, I've also noticed Progressive has perked up quite a bit here recently. Some of your better insurance stocks could be a place to hang out until some of the this swift and very quick selling takes place. It could be over. I don't know. But we did have a sell-off. Palantir had its worst sell-off. I think it was 13% over a couple of days. But, you know, Allstate's been a steady performer, actually. I would own Allstate in a minute over a bond fund. Allstate over the last 5 years has delivered an annual return of 21% per year. So it's true, you are in good hands. It's beat the S&P 500. The S&P has been 18% per year. Allstate's been 21% per year. It's been a pretty steady grower, actually, and one of the better U.S. companies out of Northbrook, Illinois. Illinois seems to be a big insurance capital of the world. Allstate also pays we don't own it. Allstate also pays a dividend of 1.9%. But that's good news. Less catastrophes this year. Now we go to Utah. We go from Seattle to Charleston to Northbrook, Illinois. Now we go to Utah. Energy Fuels. I've talked about this before. U. Which is better than me, you know. Right. It produces the first kilogram, get this, of disprosium oxide. Okay, Barry, you do a quick search.
A kilogram, that's it?
On disprosium oxide, which is a rare earth.
That's not going to get me in trouble, is it, if I type that
Well,
in.
Go ahead and look it up. Disprosium oxide achieving a purity of 99.9% and believes the quantity and purity of its Dy oxide production is unmatched in the U.S. So let's take a look at U. And, you know, I did read that Russia is really ramping up production of uranium, and uranium prices are falling. A lot of that uranium comes from Kazakhstan.
Not the greatest sign, right?
No. You know, during the break, I'm going to look up what we use disprosium oxide. I'm sure there's a chemist out there or a chemical engineer. I've got one that lives two doors down from me, a very well-known chemical engineer. But this coming from the White Mesa Mill in Utah. And UUU is up 6.33%.
Yeah, I've got to look up my pricing, and maybe the fact that it's pure to be more valuable. Like when I Google
99.9%.
When I Google it, it's $453 a kilogram. So you know, nothing compared to rhodium. So we'll see. I got to see what there's got to be something.
But
else.
If it's pure stuff, right. That sells for big money. You know, in the back streets of L.A. I don't know. We'll have to see. The other thing, the uranium.
What do we use it for? Is what I want to know.
That's yeah, well, I want to know too. Disprosium oxide. Uranium and nuclear stocks extend declines as Kazakhstan plans to raise production. That's another, card in the hand of Putin, is their rare earth, and that's where their uranium, a lot of the uranium. If you want nuclear, you got to have uranium. Okay, when we come back, we'll have an answer for you on disprosium oxide. And believe it or not, Bernie Sanders agrees with Trump on something. Guess what that could be? If he agrees with that, I'm against it. We'll be right back. But I must do the wrong call. Hit us in a bad place.
And I wonder what it's good for. This is Bill Gunderson. Thank you for tuning in to today's Best Stocks Now, Best Inverse Funds Now show. I put several hours of research in during the wee hours of the morning each day to bring you the very best cutting-edge stories that I can. To get 2 free weeks of my newsletter, go to GundersonCapital.com. To talk to us about our fee-based only money management services, call us at 855-611-BEST. Now, back to the second half of the show.
Welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Dysprosium oxide is a compound of rare earth metal dysprosium. It's 2 parts dysprosium and 3 parts oxygen, if you want to whip some up at home. It has specialized uses in ceramics, which are used in chips, obviously, glass, phosphorus, lasers, okay, which are used in chips, and dysprosium metal halide lamps, as well as Faraday rotators. And I did look up Faraday rotators. They're pretty important, too. That's putting light into certain elements. So it's an important deal there. And right now, the play on this one is in White Mesa Mill, Utah, Energy Fuels, UUUU, which is up 6.3% on this news today. And I have been watching the other nuclear stocks, the uranium producers, a day after Kazakhstan, the world's largest uranium producer, announced plans to significantly increase production. Well, Putin's got to pay for those drones, right, that he's blowing up U.S. companies with there in western Ukraine. But anyways, that has been a play. Bernie Sanders backs Trump plan for government stake in Intel. Now, if it were up to Bernie Sanders, I think the state
would own everything.
Would own everything.
Right. So, yeah.
Our friendly senator from Vermont has backed the Trump administration. I've never seen this before. Backing Trump's plan to pick up a stake in Intel. I guess, what, Bernie, I'm sure he's got a nice Roth IRA going on. Why don't you invest in it? Put your money where your mouth is if you think it's such a great investment.
He might have some intel. You never know. Nancy Pelosi might have told him to buy it, you know.
But, you know, there is a new concept here. You know, look, the previous administration was doling out money. The CHIPS Act, they didn't have to do anything in return to get the money. It was basically, here's money, go spend it. Whereas
it was a bad investment, right? Yeah, I mean, they just gave the money and didn't even you know, kind of watch what they're doing with it, right?
No,
I mean,
and it was the same concept in Ukraine with the weapons, right? Yeah. I mean, here's billions of dollars, and it's known that Ukraine is one of the most corrupt governments, countries in the world. I mean, it always has been, and it still is. But having said that, you know, Trump wants something in return. Yes, we'll give you, but we want some equity in your company, and we want you to do well with this money we give you, almost like a venture capitalist would do, or a private equity. We want some equity. We want a stake in this all. And there's been a big shift in Ukraine. I mean, they're proposing a $90 billion purchase of our weapons. And I was looking at this morning. I also saw an article about Europe going to really ramp up their purchase of weapons from the U.S. And that's got to be good news for Raytheon. Northrop Grumman, Lockheed, and a few others. And I continue to watch the defense stocks. I think a lot of that's already been baked into the defense stocks cake. But there is new fervor towards, you know, Europe, especially if they're going to give the security guarantees to Ukraine. That's going to require a lot of deterring weaponry. Taiwan, and here's another one. Trump is telling Taiwan, look, you need to increase your defense. Don't expect us, you know, we'll help to some extent. And yes, we are your ally, but we want you to also build up. Taiwan has proposed increasing their defense spending next year. Again, you got to look at the U.S. defense stocks here. It's not really showing up. It hasn't. Raytheon's probably been the best performing one here in 2025. Lockheed is just deader than a doornail as a stock.
Are they going to bump it up? Wouldn't it make up 11, 12%, something right there? I think I saw that.
I didn't see a number on Taiwan, but of course, Europe went up to 5% of their budget. Taiwan wants almost $949 billion, which is $31 billion in U.S. dollars. But they want to that represents a pretty big increase, so we'll be looking at that.
You'd think they'd want to spend every extra dollar put towards defense over there, unfortunately.
Well, Palantir has done a number on the short sellers this year. I mean, they've just been crushed. They finally had a good week. The shares have fallen more than 17% since their August 12th record high, making this their longest losing streak since April of 2024, setting the stock up for its worst week since April's tariff-driven sell-off. Well, I look at the chart of Palantir. It has pulled back to its 50-day moving average. It still is one of the most popular stocks in the entire market. It still has a relative strength of 98. We lowered our exposure to Palantir just because it had become such a big position.
Yeah, I think you've trimmed it a couple of times, though, haven't you? I mean, certainly trimmed it earlier this week.
And there's nothing wrong with the company. It's not the company's fault that investors have bid the multiple up.
Well, when some of these names are hard, I mean, it's hard to protect it. I mean, when you look at the fact you just said, you know, since the August 12th high, well, you know, that's 19% or a little bit more than 19% since August 12th. Well, today's 9 days later, right? Today's August 21st. So it's, you know, that stock has moved quickly in both directions. So it's,
it went up super fast. Yeah. It went in late July. It went up about 25% in 2 weeks. Okay. So now you're getting some consolidation of that move, but we have no intention of selling our remaining shares in Palantir. Here's a research company with new buy recommendations. You know, look, I just have to say, where have you been? They're putting out a buy recommendation on Constellation Energy, NRG, Talon, and Vistra. The transformation of energy into intelligence, well, that's because they're using energy, nuclear energy, to power AI data centers. So, yes, you are transforming energy into intelligence. I guess that's one way to look at it. But they're saying this is one of the most profound economic shifts we will likely see in our lifetime. And I never thought about it that way. You know, normally energy powers refrigerators and microwaves and things like that, but transforming energy into intelligence, that may be a stretch, but that's what they're using as their reason to initiate coverage of these stocks and put out a buy on them. This comes from Melius Research. Not exactly a household name, but Melius also said that natural gas will be the primary reliable energy source for the electrification surge until we catch up.
Right, and that's kind of the where GEV comes into the mix, because they make the natural gas powered turbines that that you basically attach on to current power companies to help expand power, and it's one of those you can actually bring online much faster than your longer term solution, which would be nuclear.
And that's a good chart on GEV right now, which is we hold that. That's one of the 19 stocks I think that we own in our premier growth portfolio, which is what I consider to be the best large cap growth stocks in the world today. And GEV has been anointed and crowned here to be in that portfolio at the current time. And I do like that chart on GEV, GE Vernova, which was spun off by GE. Looking back, that was a brilliant move to spin off the energy portion of it. I mean, how much value has that added to the GE franchise by spinning that off? And, of course, Vistra is the big one in Texas. That's a buying opportunity in Vistra. I like where they're initiating their buy, although we've been in it a lot longer and are up a lot more. But, that they have pulled back here a little bit. And let's look at the third one in this big triage. One of the four, there's actually four, the four horsemen. Constellation's having a decent day. And then the fourth one is a Talon, which is TLN. And that's a good chart in Talon. So good call by Melius Research. I think all four of those are good buys right now after this little pullback that they've had. But not a recommendation. You do your homework. You consult your advisor. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. I want to mention one more high flyer, and then we're going to pick apart Walmart a little bit. Let's see, who else? Someone else reported today. I think it was TJ. No, it was Walmart and one other one. We'll get into that in a bit. There's news on CoreWeave.
Yeah, Target's bad one yesterday.
Oh, that was horrible. What a stinker. I'd rather own a bond fund than Target. That's saying a lot
Yeah, never a good sign when you name a new CEO and the stock goes down 9% or whatever it was yesterday.
Oh, man, how ugly, ugly, ugly. The poor, we have a lot of people that worked for Target, in our Minneapolis clientele base, and a lot of people listen to our show. We had one lady, she goes way back to before it was Dayton Hudson, when it was Hudson.
Right. Yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pride of...
I got a lesson on that. That's right. I mean, that was just the history of the company in general. So.
I do remember Dayton Hudson being a publicly traded company. And, of course, Hudson, I'm not sure if that's related to the Hudson in Canada, where, we have one of the heiresses here in South Carolina. She's, I think, our richest woman. Her husband ran the Hudson Trading Company. He passed away, but she's still around. Anyways, let's take a look here at CoreWeave. You've got a company taking a 5% position. CoreWeave was one that we caught at the right time. We were in the right place at the right time, and I think we got out. That thing just went up so quickly.
Right.
It wasn't even funny. And now, and it came down about as fast as it went up. CoreWeave,
you timed those sales pretty good too.
That wasn't bad. It helps to be
on your chart there. You've got it. You got them pinpointed. I saw that chart at the workshop.
Yeah, and I don't intend to do that. I'm not a trader. I'm looking to invest in companies. But when something, an anomaly like that happens, CoreWeave is kind of looking interesting again. They don't have any earnings yet, but their sales growth has been phenomenal. They're in the Databricks business. And there is a company named Databricks that eventually is going to go public. But I see this company, let's see, who is it here?
Could be the beginnings of a bottom when you're looking at that
chart
there.
When you see an investor like this come in and take such a big stake. They took a 5.4% Jane Street. And I don't know Jane Street, but they come in and take a 5.4% stake in the artificial intelligence company. Now, that would amount to about $2.5 billion or something like that.
And
so
the good news is,
to watch it.
Yeah, their good news is their lockup just ended, I think, on maybe the 14th or something of this month. And so, you know, the good news is when you've got these, you know, when you've got a lockup ending and then you've got a company coming in to, you know, buy shares, it's great because you kind of got a natural buyer for, you know, these folks who are in CoreWeave early who, you know, want to obviously are going to want to, you know, take some profit. So to have them, you know, kind of come in at a time where, you know, folks can begin to sell shares who were locked
up initially.
There's
a buyer on the other end.
Yeah,
yeah, that's good. That'll
support
the stock from going down. Because a lot of these insiders that are in at 50 cents a share or a dollar a share, they're just itching to get out. And I do know that
you can't blame them for wanting to get out, right? I mean, they want to at least sell, at least liquidate something so they can turn it into a home or whatever they want to buy with it, right?
Yeah. Not that the company's bad. It's just that, hey, they've been sitting on this for a long, long time. A lot of the venture capital people, et cetera. And when that lockoff comes up off the market, lockup comes off the shares, they're pretty willing and anxious to get out with some money and realize some of those profits. Okay, one other one that I'm going to mention. This is my fun stock of the day. The rare earth, China has really picked up on their shipments of rare earth. So I did a little research on Chinese rare earth stocks, and there is one. It trades on the pink sheets. CREQF. How about that? It's up 27% today. It trades at a whopping 28 cents per share. Now, I just want to warn you, we talked about radioactive shrimp yesterday at Walmart in aisle number 2 in the freezer section. Be careful of that. This is worse than radioactive shrimp. This is really radioactive. But it's fun to watch. Okay, it's fun to watch. If you're headed out to the liquor store to pick up a lottery ticket today, China Rare Earth trades at 28 cents per share. It's up 6 cents per day. But you know what? The market cap is almost $1 billion. I'm surprised to see that, 781 million. I was just looking to see if there was a pure play on rare earth, which China supposedly possesses about 80% of the rare earth, and the stock that came up in my search was CREQF. So have some fun with that. Take a look at it. How many shares is it traded overall today here? I looked at the chart. It's been pretty good. If a chart of this thing was 7 cents and now it's all of a sudden 28 cents. So it's quadrupled since all of this rare earth fervor. Okay. Now we got to go to, from one end of the spectrum to the other end of the spectrum to Walmart. Walmart is one of the reasons why the Dow is down a couple hundred points today. Walmart's down 4.4%. My problem with Walmart, and I've said it before and I'll say it again, it's a single digit grower. It's in the same league as Home Depot, Johnson & Johnson, Kimberly-Clark, Procter & Gamble, Lowe's, etc. Their earnings year over year were up 1%. All things being equal, the stock should go up 1% in the last 12 months. The sales are up 5%. They did have a pretty good sales, but that's still low single digits, which is not my cup of tea. But it is what it is. I would say almost every account that comes to me from one of the wirehouse firms, you're going to find Walmart in it because everybody knows the name. And it's one of the most widely held stocks in the world today. And like
widely followed. I mean, in terms of analysts, it's, covered by everyone.
Yes, it's a total bellwether for the retail sector, the bellwether along with Amazon. and a member of the Dow, as is Amazon. Okay, well, we're out of time. Hey, I've had the date wrong. Let's get it right here. September 19th, 20th, and 21st. There. Thank you, Bill. In Santa Clara at the Marriott. The 19th is a Tuesday. That's when the workshop is. And the 19th and 20th and 21st are the private meetings, one-hour meetings that you can book. Call Edie at 855-611-BEST. 855-611-BEST. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Charles Schwab. Schwab is a member of SIPC and FINRA.